Hey there, this is Seth Wars from Channel 9 coming to you from Techorama in Belgium with a wonderful guest, Jeff Staes. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, it's always the same. Adrenaline before the keynote and then afterwards.
That's right. So you had a keynote here. Tell us what you do, first of all, and then get into what your keynote was about.
Well, what I do is like, I used to work for a big company, and a big company really had a problem with disruption.
Uh-huh.
So, and when I was working there, I left the company because I really had to follow my passion for my talents.
Sure.
Like everybody does today. And so now I write books, give keynotes, always about the same subject. How can you change organizations, the culture of organizations, to embrace disruption, to embrace disruptive ideas, and to bring them to the market very fast? So that's my whole life.
Now the thing about disruption is most of us, let's be honest, when we are on a specific path, disruption means you have to not only disrupt yourself, but it means you have to change your organization. People are very hesitant to change. How can people sort of reach this state of embracing this kind of change?
It's very easy. It's just like you never, if you have a disruptive idea, never tell everybody to embrace this idea at the same time. that's most of the companies have this problem. So they have a disruptive idea, say everybody has to follow. Well, if you do that, most of the people will be against the idea.
Sure.
Okay, so you have to find another way to become a disruptive organization. And the only way to do it, if I have a disruptive idea, can I use this?
Absolutely.
This is a disruptive idea. And so I'm a creator. So I have to start talking about my idea, pitch it. I have to tell stories about what is it, how is it. And it has to be so good that some people in the organization say, wow, I want to be part of the team that's going to make it work.
Right.
That's what I call the pioneer. So you don't work with everybody, you just tell your story, and your organization has to give people the freedom who have the passion and talent to work in it to come to you. That's agility. That's how you get this thing. And then if you have this idea with a team of what I call 3D smart, passionate, talented people who learn every day, it will going to work faster. You need less budget, less errors, and this is where you start. The moment it works, the moment it works, another group of people will say, hey, I never imagined that. Because most of the people don't like disruption.
No.
Not because they don't want to, because they don't understand.
I see.
So you have to first make it work, and then you see that another group of people who were not really against it, but not pro, they will start to embrace it because then they see it. And these are the followers. So the followers are people who say they have to see it proved, and they will become part of the coalition. And then they will have the hard-headed people who were always against. They will be lonely, so they have to adapt.
I see.
So the biggest trick for me for disruptive or creating a disruptive culture is let people participate at the moment they are ready to participate.
And that's interesting, right? Because like to be disruptive on an organizational level is difficult. You're saying that you want to sort of enlist the pioneers to help draw your vision, and then you get the followers after that.
Yes, yes. So this means that if you have if you would have a portfolio of your company, you have to divide it. So if you're a business unit manager, CEO, and I would interview you about innovation and disruption, you would show me three drawers. In the first drawer, you have disruptive ideas which help you to become your mission.
Right.
So you would open the drawer and say, wow, very disruptive ideas. The second drawer are the drawer with the disruptive idea you're incubating.
That's
the second drawer. And the last drawer are the products which are in operation. So if I would be a CEO of a company, I would have three drawers. The biggest problem today with executives is that they are biased. So a lot of executives only are thinking about operations.
What they have,
What they have. And some executives are only thinking about this and this, but you only can survive today if you have a healthy three drawers. In every drawer, there has to be something in it, and it has to go fast. So if you want to build a very innovative culture, you have two challenges. The first challenge is get disruptive ideas in the first hour. And the second challenge is do this fast, and that's agility. So it's very easy, but you need executives who are brave. You need a completely different kind of managers who are able to get people around an idea incubation, and you need complete other HR processes.
Yeah.
And so what I see is that most of the time, organizations can't innovate because they don't have the right management culture and they don't have the right HR processes.
And that's interesting, right? Because, I mean, I love the idea of having three drawers, because if you are, let's just say you build a point of sales application, which can be very boring.
Yeah.
If you only focus on this is what we have.
This is the problem.
Yeah. You're never going to be able to say, we're going to revolutionize the way we do point of sales.
And I think you're right. But because, and this is also existing now, because what I see now today, an example. You are an engineer. You have a very disruptive idea. This is your idea. You start to implement it, implement incubation, right. And then you go to operations. But most of the time, this is gone. So you end up with an engineer who had a very disruptive idea, but at the end, you're just like every other organization. You're
right.
Just in operations. So if you really want to build a really innovative organization, you have to make sure that all these three drawers remain.
Full, all the
full.
Time. Yeah.
And this is a conflict, because in the early days, we talked about maturity of organizations. It says, you have an idea, you incubate. So maturity meant you're going from there to there to there, and now you're an organization.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrong. Today you're a mature organization, what I call a 3D organization, if you have a culture where all these drawers are full. And that's completely different.
That's interesting. And so you talked about sort of having the right managers to be able to have these three doors. Let's talk a little bit about how do we create a culture for an individual to be able to be disruptive in a company? Because sometimes there's processes that prevent us from being disruptive in our own organization.
Yeah.
What can we do to create a culture of disruption and innovation?
Well, I think if this is the, I'm going to add another one.
Yes.
This is the business unit manager who really is responsible for the portfolio. Well, this executive has to be a person who is able to tell stories about trends and future. And this CEO, and you know some of them, they are there.
Yeah.
They give energy.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have a CEO who tells about change in technology, change in society, change in sustainability, sharing economy, everything, who knows everything. Well, he talks about the mission. He talks about change.
Right.
And he says, please give me what I call disruptive ideas or red monkeys. But that's where it starts. If you don't have this guy, this won't happen.
That's interesting.
So the major question today is a lot of CEOs are talking about disruptive organizations, culture change, but they don't have the needed competences to start it.
I see.
So I think it starts with this thing. Then you have to create disruptive ideas. Then you need managers who say, hey, I'm going to implement this red monkey disruptive ideas. And they should have the freedom to tell to the organization, I'm responsible for this disruptive idea. Who has the passion and talent to become part of the team?
Right.
And then you need other HR processes. So basically, it's not so difficult. The major problem today is that in order to create this kind of organizations, you need a disruptive culture change.
Right.
So we're not talking anymore about disruptive products. That's the outcome.
Yeah.
So I tell disruptive business innovation powered by disruptive culture innovation. And this is a problem, because if you have an old organization and you want to go to a very innovative organization, you have to kill HR processes.
Yeah.
You have to kill old management style thinking, but it starts with killing some executives.
Which is hard to do sometimes.
Which is hard to do, and that's the reason why a lot of organizations will die. They don't have the power to adapt their culture to a very challenging time area. We need to be disruptive. We have to solve everything.
One of the things, and sorry to interrupt, I love the idea of having the storyteller. You mentioned something about a storyteller and a mission rather than having certain products and sales, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit more about what this storyteller looks like? What does she look like if we have her in our...
It's it gives you energy. I'm just going to tell you another story. Suppose you're a storyteller for children.
Uh-huh.
Like you have these stories about Grimm and everything, and children listen to you when they are challenged and they are absorbed in your story. Well, now we need executives and managers who are storytellers for adults.
Right.
And this is a change, and so the change is so dramatic. Just give an idea. When there was not so much change and not so much disruption, you need to be a manager based on your experience,
right,
your knowledge. So you became a manager when you became older. Of course, you had to be the smartest guy in the room.
Technically.
So you got respect from your employees because you knew everything. But so the older you get, more chances are that you became a manager and you go to your hierarchical level. But in this new time frame, we need storytellers. So now if you're a young person with a brilliant idea, you just need to tell stories. And then if you want to have people around you to make this idea work, they will come to you.
Yeah.
But you're younger than I think. I'm 59. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are so many young people, 20, 30 or younger, with brilliant ideas that I, as an older person, want to work for them. So the whole age stuff in management is disappearing. It's being replaced by energy and that storytelling.
That's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about, obviously you've worked with companies on this. Have there been success stories on how to disrupt culture? Because it feels like you can't just say, I'm going to be a disruptive company without effectively disrupting your process.
Yeah, well,
what are some success stories that you've seen, or what are some changes that you've seen?
It's going too slow. It's going much too slow. And I think, I'm so passionate about this stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
I like to look in a crystal ball, seeing the future. But what I see is that there is something going to happen. The field of culture innovation or transformation processes is not standardized yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've done this in software. I've been a software programmer for years, but it boomed when we had a software language,
right,
like Basic or iOS or Windows or whatever, doesn't care. But the moment you have a language and you have somebody who envisions the language, then you got people who wants to program in this language.
I see.
And then you get apps and programs. So you need standardization to get a movement. So what I predict is we will go to a standardization of culture innovation and management development. It's not standardized yet. So if you have 100 consultants, everybody has his own view, has his own thing. If you talk about innovation, there are so many views. What I think is there will become a language which standardizes how do you manage, how do you do innovation. And the moment you do that, you reprogram your organization to a new organization.
How do you standardize something that is effectively a non-standard way of thinking and being?
Well, that's the thing. That's how IKEA started. They said, you can build your own furniture, but we're not going to build it. It's the same thing that uses with basic office windows. It's standardization. Before that, nobody thought it would be standardized.
Right.
So, but it can. So what I'm telling you is that if we want to become the new agile, disruptive organizations, mm-hmm, we have to standardize it. And I think it's possible, but that's disruption on its own.
I see. So just to finish up, let's just say someone's watching and they're like, yeah, I want my organization to be disruptive. What are the top three things they can do right now to get it going? We talked a lot about a lot of things, but what are some things that they can start doing right now?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to start talking about your mission.
Right.
You have to talk, this is the reason why we are here. This is our mission in the world. And in order to make this mission work, we need disruptive ideas.
Okay.
Please give them to me. That's your second thing. The first thing you need that. The second thing you need, the moment you have disruptive ideas, which I call red monkeys, you have to tell your organization, I have a red monkey. I have a disruptive idea. Who are the people who are the passion and talent to make it work? And bring them together. That's the third thing. The moment you have that, you're changing your organization, because you need to do a lot of stuff. Different competences of the executive, different management competences, and other HR processes. So these are the three things. Storytelling about what is the reason for your existence.
Mission, yeah.
getting disruptive ideas, protect them, get the right managers, and make the right teams, and you start.
And you got to keep doing that.
And you have to keep doing that. And that's the three. That's the three drivers.
Yeah.
You have to keep doing that. You have to tell missioning ideas, incubate, bring in operations. And so every time, if you have an idea, this is what I call inspiration managers. Uh-huh. They grab the idea. They do pitching. These are the incubation managers. These are the operation managers. So this means that the same idea from creation to operation, there is a handover in managers.
That's cool.
I am an inspiration manager. I pitch it. I give it to you. You're going to make it work. Yes?
Yes.
With the right people. And once it works, you give it to an operation manager. You make operations. So it's a handover process. So this means that managers will become also plug in.
Right.
And so it's very easy to start, but one thing you need, and it's the most important thing, you need a CEO that protects this movement.
I see. So where can people go to find out more? Obviously, you talked about Red Monkeys. Is there a website you have?
Yeah, you just Google Red Monkeys. You go to my website, jeffstaal.com. I put a lot of stuff available, if possible. So just my passion and talent is start this movement.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks so much for watching again. We're here in Belgium, Techorama 2016. My name is Seth Juarez, and we've learned how to be disruptive as an organization. You should start doing it. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.